Welcome to Basic Gospel, everybody, with Bob Christopher and somebody who's not here, Richard Piper. This is Bob Davis, and we have open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. Richard has the day off. This is your invitation to call or keep listening. You'll learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. If you have a Bible question or if there's some issue you're facing that you'd like to talk about, well, now is the time to call. 1-800-677-9377. That's toll-free in the U.S. and in Canada. 1-800-677-9377. So, whether you're calling or listening, the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it. Believe it. Live it. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. The day that Jesus died, something significant happened. Happened in the temple. It was the curtain that stood between the Holy of Holies and the holy place. That curtain was torn from top to bottom. It was an earth-shattering moment. There was an earthquake that took place at Jesus' death, and then this curtain tore from top to bottom. And why did it tear? It signified that the way into God's presence was now open to all.
Yeah.
Before that, it had been closed, but now it was open. That's why this is such good news. We were so afraid of God. We were so afraid of his punishment. We were so afraid of his judgment. There was nothing inside of us that compelled us forward, that moved us toward him. We always shrank back. We always moved away. But now this curtain has been split, torn from top to bottom. We can go boldly into the throne of grace. And the confidence that enables us to do so is the shed blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's this new covenant that we live in today. And that's the deepest longing of our heart, to be able to be near God, to feel his presence, to sense his presence, to know that we're just right there with him and can have relationship with him. Well, this way is open. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've often thought about that day in Jerusalem almost 2,000 years ago when that temple tore, or when that curtain tore. Did anybody have the guts to go in to the Holy of Holies?
Yeah.
Did anybody march in to see what was in there? I kind of doubt it. I think they were so frightened. Of course, you know, only one person ever got to go in there, and that was the high priest, and he had to take blood first for his own sins, and then he took blood for the rest of the people. And it was such a scary thing. If he didn't do it right, he could have died right there.
Sure.
Well, who was going to go in and get him? Nobody, because they would have died as well. So they tied a rope on his ankle, and in case of death, they could just pull him out. So they wouldn't have to subject themselves to death by going in there. So I know it was a scary place, a scary situation, and I doubt that anybody did march in. But in essence, that's our invitation. That is the gospel invitation, to go into the throne of grace. It's the blood of Jesus that can carry us in there. We're not going to go on our own record. We're not going to go on our own merits, our own righteousness. We're going to float in there on the blood of Jesus.
Yeah.
That river is going to take us in, and when we're there, we'll get to see God for who he is and to truly know him for who he is. That's good news. That's why we need to realize that the old covenant has been fulfilled. It's been set aside by Jesus Christ himself. This new will has been established, and in this new will, we have access to God our Father.
Absolutely. That's Basic Gospel, and this is Basic Gospel. We want you to be a part of it. 1-800-677-9377. That's a toll-free call in the U.S. and in Canada, and if you have something you'd like to discuss, perhaps a Bible question or some situation you may be facing in life that you'd like some guidance on, why, give us a call. 1-800-677-9377. Line's open right now.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Wilmington, North Carolina, and talk to Etta listening to us on WMYT. Hi, Etta.
Hey.
Welcome.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you today?
I'm fine, too. But no, I'm confused about who Melchizedek is. I have read over it and over it and over it. I'm 85 years old, so it's just something that's bothered me for a while. And I was reading the Bible the other day and come across it again, and I thought, well, I'm going to call him and ask him.
Well, I'm glad you did, and it's a wonderful question. We really don't know a lot about Melchizedek. He shows up in the book of Genesis. Abram has gone to battle against some of his enemies. He has won the battle. He has taken spoils from those he defeated, and he's going back to his homeland. And Melchizedek just appears out of nowhere. Abraham just met him on his way back. And there was something about Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem, that brought out bread and wine to Abraham. Abraham saw him as a priest of the God Most High. And this Melchizedek blessed Abram. And in response to that, Abram gave him 10% of his spoils. That's all we know about Melchizedek until we turn to the book of Hebrews.
Yeah,
and the writer of Hebrews says basically that Melchizedek was a type of Jesus Christ. He was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. So we put a lot of stock in trying to figure out who Melchizedek was. And in essence, he's really just an example to show us what Jesus is like.
Well, it said something about, you know, the order of Melchizedek. I can't remember. I'm old and I don't remember. I have to keep it right in front of me. And I don't have
well,
it
here's,
right now.
Here's what it says, Etta. Then Melchizedek, this is Genesis 14, verse 18. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. The word Salem is the Hebrew word for peace. That is where the name Jerusalem would come from. He brought out bread and wine. So what does the bread and wine symbolize? The blood and the body of Jesus Christ. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abram. And so there was a priestly service that Melchizedek performed with Abram. And so when the writer of Hebrews talks about Melchizedek, he's basically saying that the priestly service that Jesus Christ performs on our behalf follows the pattern set by Melchizedek. And Jesus is not like the Levites. He is of the order, the same type, the same
order
form
Melchizedek.
As Melchizedek.
Well, I couldn't figure him out as Jesus, but somehow or another I wanted to think he was maybe God talking. I didn't know. I've just always wondered about that when I would be reading it, and I've never found nobody that could tell me anything about it. If I started young enough, but
well, you're never too old, and as far as I can tell, we're going to be learning until the day we die, and if we're
the older I get, the more I understand the Bible, more it comes alive to me.
Isn't that exciting, Etta? To know that Jesus Christ loves you.
Things you never seen before. He's really blessed my life. I know that. I've been through a lot, and he's brought me through it.
Well, that's his faithfulness. That's his love. That's his promise to you to work all things together for good. And you're a living testimony of that. And Etta, thank you for calling and encouraging us here in the studio. And then encouraging our listenership as well.
I listen every day that I can, and I've really learned a lot from your program.
Well, thank you so much, Etta.
God bless y'all.
Well, you as well. And Etta, let me put you on hold, and we're just going to send you some stuff just to say thanks for being on the program today, okay?
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Etta. Thanks for your call. God bless you.
Yes, indeed. Well, again, this is Basic Gospel. We want to hear from you. We have plenty of open lines, plenty of time on the clock. That number, 1-800-677-9377. 1-800-677-9377. Call quickly, friends. Go ahead and get your question onto the air today. Bob had a question from Vicki, who writes to us from Lisbon, Ohio. The question, isn't Jesus supposed to lock Satan away for 1,000 years and teach the lost people and then let him out again? And what about the Valley of Dry Bones, where flesh will be back on them and they'll get to live also for 1,000 years? One more thing, what is the second death? That's a question from Vicki in Lisbon, Ohio, and quite a number of
yes, indeed.
Quite a
and
lot
we'll,
of passages.
And we'll
one.
Certainly be covering that next month as we get into the book of Revelation. Some of the things that she asked about really are questions out of the book of Revelation, so we'll be answering. But she talks about the Valley of Dry Bones. This was a vision that Ezekiel saw. The nation of Israel was basically dead. I mean, they had followed after foreign gods, and they had bowed their knee to those idols, and their hearts were far away from the Lord. And that was their history. That was their pattern. And God would always send somebody to bring them back, and they would come back for a brief period of time. But then the weight of temptation from adjoining nations and all of that steered their hearts in the wrong place. And so they were basically dead. And so this vision was that one day Israel would be brought back to life. And really what it is a vision for all of us who come to know Christ. Once we were dead, but now through faith in Jesus Christ, we're made alive together with him. That's what this gospel message is all about. It's about us going from death to life. And that's a grace thing. So it's really a foreshadowing of what was going to happen to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. This valley of dry bones called planet Earth, filled with dead, spiritually dead human beings, had a chance to come to life through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. The second death is going to happen to those who reject Jesus. They come into this world dead spiritually. That condition was passed on to them, to all of us, by our ancestors, Adam and Eve. They subjected the entire world, all of humanity, to sin and death. And so we have an opportunity to choose life through this gospel message. Those who reject Christ, who remain dead, they're going to stand before God at the great white throne judgment. Their final destiny will be declared, and at that point, they will experience the second death. That's not a death you want to experience. That's eternal separation from God. And as far as Satan and all of that, yes, Scripture talks about him being tied up for a period of time and then let loose for a period of time. Mm-hmm. But the whole point of Revelation, and this is what we will show in the next month, is that God is sovereign, God is in control, and because we have overcome, because we belong to him, mm-hmm. that we too overcome and that we share in his victory.
Yeah.
Regardless of how fierce our enemies may be, how strategic they may be in their plans, mm-hmm. we still win because Jesus won.
Yeah.
That's the good news.
That's the good news. You know, it's an interesting thing, though, Bob, that, you know, after 1,000 years of Jesus Christ literally reigning on earth, Satan is turned loose again after that and leads the nations up against Jerusalem and the holy city where Jesus is reigning.
Well, you can expect a defeated foe giving a last-ditch effort, mm-hmm. and that's basically what that is.
The thing to me is why people would follow him at that point. We don't know. That's just questions for the ages, I guess.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Well, let's go to Stafford Springs, Connecticut, and talk to Mark listening to us today on WVNE. Hi, Mark.
Hello there, gentlemen, and thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just want to say God bless both of you for all you do. I replay your broadcast after listening on the radio during the day. I replay it on the internet for my mom at night. And both of us have been kind of stumped on what John MacArthur has strictly stood by, which is that, you know, the Rome or Catholicism is a form of idolatry. The Eucharist is basically an idol He doesn't believe in man-made bread and wine and going over and over and over again every mass that takes place in this world in Catholicism. He doesn't believe that's something that should be done. It's reenacting the death of Christ. And when Christ died, he just, you know, he died and that was it. And he said it on the cross. He said, you know, I commend my spirit. What I want to say is that me and my mom have left the church, the Catholic Church, and we don't. She loves the church, and she likes, you know, the people that are there. She's in her 80s, and I'd like to have her. You know, I said, "Mom, go there if you'd like to go there. Go there, but you know, just don't go to communion." Now, am I right in telling her to do something like that?
Well, Mark, it's one of those things that, you know, it has to be a decision that she makes. If she doesn't feel right doing it, then it would be sin for her to do it. I think that's what the scripture would say.
But do you believe or take on the same opinion as a John MacArthur, who is, well, you know, he's to me one of the tops in the field, that it is idolatry? Catholicism practices a form of idolatry?
Well, transubstantiation, that whole idea, that concept that the bread becomes the actual body and the wine becomes the actual blood, there's no scriptural support for that. So the fact that it is just a tradition of the Catholic Church, and what I mean by the Catholic Church, I'm not talking about the universal Church of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the Catholic denomination, basically, that they are putting more into that than what is supposed to be there. When we partake of the Lord's Supper, Mark, for example, it really is a celebration of what Christ has accomplished. We are rejoicing in the fact that his blood took away our sins once and for all, and in this new covenant, we know that God remembers our sins no more. When we partake of the bread, we understand that bread was shared with us, his body. He shared his body with us, and we've become the body of Christ. And so we celebrate that together, not as something that spiritually we take in the body of Christ and the blood of Christ, but just celebrating what's already true of us in Christ.
All right, so basically the most important thing, of course, is saying that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. You believe he died, you know, for our sins, and that's that. It doesn't really matter what church and denomination you're sitting in.
No, it doesn't. I mean, being in a Catholic church or a Protestant church, being a member of either one of those isn't going to get you into heaven. You must be born again. And any person that is born again of the Spirit of God, Christ has come to live in that person by his Spirit, and he has guaranteed that person that when they are absent from the body, they're going to be present with the Lord. That is the key.
And that saving won't be nullified by sitting in a Catholic church. That's what she was worried about.
No, but if there's, if she believes the Lord's leading her away, that's a decision that she can make. Sometimes folks stay involved in various churches that they've grown up in because they have a platform that they can basically communicate the gospel to, encourage others to have faith in Jesus Christ, not in the church or not in any ritual, but in Jesus Christ himself. So sometimes you have those opportunities. And
because John MacArthur, real quick, and I'll let you guys go, appreciate all the time, he pretty bluntly says, I'm trying to steer people on the road to hell. You know, when he talks about people that go to a Catholic church, he really is blunt about it. You know, he makes it sound like, you know, you could be born again, but you're sitting in a Catholic church and you're idolater because you're taking that Eucharist is a form of idolatry. The statues of Mary and Joseph in the church and things of that nature. Those are, you know, things of wood, gold, and, you know, things that says in the Bible, and that I think it's the New Testament or the Old Testament. They mention idolatry.
Worship is a heart experience. We must worship in spirit and in truth. You know, there's lots of folks that would say if you have a Christmas tree in your home, you are participating in idolatry. Lots of folks would say that if you actually celebrate Christmas, you are participating in idolatry because of the pagan, you know, background of some of those traditions.
Bob, as long as we're born again, sitting in a Catholic church won't defer that.
If you're born again, if you've been made new in Christ, if Christ has come to live inside of you, you are His forever. And just allow the Spirit of God to teach you and to lead you in these particular decisions, okay?
Okay.
Does that make
sense?
Thank
you so much. Yeah, very, very great. She's going to love hearing this on the Internet tonight. I really appreciate it.
Well, you're welcome,
Mark. Thank you, guys. Have a great evening.
Thank you, Mark.
Hey, thank you, Mark. Thanks for your call.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great that he and his mom are studying together, though.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. That's a wonderful thing. It just shows the importance of family.
Yeah.
Gathering together around the Word of God and allowing God's Spirit to lead you and teach you. I mean, if you've grown up in a particular church or denomination and, you know, that's been your life, and then you hear the gospel message, you're going to have all kinds of conflict about what to do, you know, and somebody can come in and say, if you stay there, you know, you might lose your salvation. Well, that may scare you out of it, but it doesn't give you an answer.
Right.
But the Holy Spirit will. And if you're wrestling with it, you know that the Holy Spirit has an answer for you at some point. Just allow the Holy Spirit some time to break through in a way that you see it clearly and you know what you need to do.
Yeah.
You need to be taught by the Spirit of God on those issues. It has to be something between you and Him.
Absolutely.
Yeah. If you do it because somebody tells you to do it, then you're still going to be wondering. Well, let's go to Pleasanton, California, and talk to Mark, listening to us on KCBC. Hi, Mark.
Hello, Mark.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Well, we can hear you just fine.
Good. I have a quick question for you. I know that you believe in once saved, always saved, and you've given some scriptures on that, but can a Christian walk away from their faith?
I think if they walk away from their, quote, faith, then they've never had faith to begin with. John writes about that in his first letter, those who went out from among us were never a part of us to begin with. So I think there's a lot of people that have given lip service to a Christian belief, a Christian faith, but it hasn't been a heartfelt experience.
Correct.
You know, the Bible says you have to believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. I think there's a lot of folks that may say some things but have never truly believed that in their heart. So they walk away all the time, and they walk away because they were never really a part of it to begin with.
Is that what Hebrews 6 verses 4 through 6 is referencing to, people that just never truly knew Him? They maybe knew Him from a head or an emotional standpoint, but never from their heart?
Absolutely, and it's really specifically pointed toward Jews who were hearing this good news for the first time. It was really messing them up as far as their Jewish way of life. Well, what about the sacrifices? What about this? And eventually they just came to a point and says, we're going to go back to our old way of life. And he's saying, well, if that's the case, then you're just trampling underfoot the Son of God and making a mockery of His sacrifice. So it's to those who have never really come to faith in Jesus.
Okay. Because there's another verse, and I don't know where it is in the Bible, where it speaks of people that were casting out demons and, you know, holding church, and then God tells them, depart from me, for I never knew you.
They were false prophets.
That's the whole prophets.
That's the whole context. False prophets.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, outstanding.
Mark, you've got a great radio voice, man.
Oh, thank you.
Hey,
well, I do appreciate your help.
Hey, you're welcome. Thanks for your call.
All right. Have a good
Friends, we are just about out of time, but a quick reminder that we have something special for you. It's called The Basic Gospel Journey, a CD message by Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and we'd like to get it into your hands, and it can be yours for a gift of any amount. Simply go online to basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828. It's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. We're out of time for this edition. We'll be back tomorrow for another Friday edition of Basic Gospel. We hope you'll join us then. Bye-bye.